In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. Pride and nothing else caused an angel to fall from heaven. And so one may reasonably ask whether one may reach heaven by humility alone, without any other virtue. The words of our Holy Father, St. John of the Ladder, whom we remember on this fourth Sunday of Great Lent in the Orthodox Church. Pride and humility are dealt with in steps 23 and 25 of his masterwork, The Ladder of Divine Ascent. The ladder has 30 steps, 30 categories of virtues to obtain and passions to resist on the way up to God. It was written by a monk for monastics. Indeed, St. John lived in the 7th century at the famous St. Catherine's Monastery on Mount Sinai. You can read about his life in today's bulletin. But the ladder, this work, The Ladder of Divine Ascent, has spiritual gems, tasty spiritual morsels for all of us for the Lenten buffet of our souls. It's hard for the rich to enter the kingdom, Matthew 19:23. It is hard, says St. John, for the foolishly wise to enter simplicity. He said, fight to escape your own cleverness. Fight to escape your own cleverness. Your own thoughts of how smart you are, or how wise you are, how clever you are, how insightful you think you might be, holds you back from the kingdom of God. That's from step 24, on meekness, simplicity, guilelessness, and wickedness. He said there, meekness prays quietly and sincerely for a neighbor, however troublesome he may be. Meekness prays quietly and sincerely for a neighbor, no matter how troublesome that neighbor is. Meekness is the bulwark of patience, the door and mother of love, and the foundation of discernment. It earns pardons for our sins, gives confidence to our prayers, and makes a place for the Holy Spirit. Meekness. We should always be on the lookout, says St. John, to compare ourselves with the fathers and great lights, the saints, who have gone before us. If we do, we will find that we have just barely begun the ascetic life. Compare yourself to the saints if you want to compare yourself to anyone. And that will keep you grounded. That will give you perspective. That will keep you in the right understanding of where you are in God's kingdom. But in step one, we read, God is the life of all free beings, whether believers or not. He is the salvation of all, believers or unbelievers, of the just and the unjust, of monks and of those living in the world. A Christian is an imitator of Christ in thought, word, and deed, as far as humanly possible. And he believes rightly in the Holy Trinity. And for our generation specifically, St. John said, the self-controlled person strives with all their might amidst the trials, the snares, and the noise of the world. The noise. He strives to be like someone who rises above them. To rise above the trials, the snares, and the noise of the world is the self-controlled person. And how do we unceasingly serve God? We are not ready for this answer. St. John says, by stillness. By stillness. By quiet. Hezekiah. Stillness, he says, is an unceasing service to God and a standing before him. He who has obtained stillness has come to know the depth of the mysteries. We serve God by stopping, How about that? We serve God by standing still. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46. On anger, he says, as it is impossible to destroy a wild beast without a weapon, so without humility, it is impossible to obtain freedom from anger. Our anger is a sign of our pride. Our anger is a sign of our lack of humility. Our irritation is a sign of our great self-esteem. Do not be surprised if you fall every day, and do not surrender. Stand your ground bravely, and you may be sure that your guardian angel will respect your endurance. On the subject of confession, we ought not to be surprised if the attacks of the demons continue even after confession. He says, in any case, it is better to be battling with our polluted thoughts rather than our self-esteem. It is better to be tempted. It's better to have polluted thoughts. It's better to know that we're not pure, that we're not holy, that we're not some gift to God and to the church. It's better to have that thought than the thought of self-esteem, the thought that we've made it. On fasting, control your appetites before they control you. Control your appetites before they control you. It is truly astounding how the mind can be defiled and darkened by the body. Fasting ends lust, roots out bad thoughts, frees one from evil dreams. Fasting makes for purity of prayer, an enlightened soul, a watchful mind, health of the body, the gate of paradise. Do we really want heaven? St. John says, if we really long for heavenly things, we will surely taste the glory above. If we want it, it's there for us. If we want it, we can have it. And whoever has tasted that will think nothing of earthly glory. But he who has no taste of heaven finds pleasure in possessions. He who has no taste of heaven finds pleasure in possessions. This is indeed the challenge of our generation, to not confuse our possessions with heaven. St. John gives us this hope. He says, as one spark has frequently set fire to much wood, so it has been found that one good deed can wipe out a multitude of great sins. One good deed can wipe out a multitude of great sins. And for the whole community of the body of Christ, he says, as galloping horses race one another, so a good community excites mutual fervor. As we challenge ourselves, it challenges others around us. It lifts up the whole community. Love and humility make a holy team. Love exalts, humility supports those who have been exalted, and never falls. Love and humility, a holy team. Many have obtained salvation without the gifts of prophecies, illumination, signs and wonders, but without humility, no one will enter the bridal chamber. For humility is the guard of such gifts. You can have gifts of prophecy, gifts of spiritual illumination, do signs and wonders. If it's without humility, it will not lead us to the kingdom of heaven, but in fact will be a curse upon us. So finally, the church gives us the words of St. John of the Ladder, that we might indeed be humbled and edified by his holy wisdom. As St. John explains, he says, when poor men see riches and wealth, they are still more conscious of their poverty. And so too, when the soul reads about the great virtues of the fathers, it at least comes to a more humble state of mind. Always coming back, to humility, to humbleness, to rejecting self-esteem, to blunting our ego. But brothers and sisters, we don't need to be a monastic to learn wisdom from the Holy Father, such as St. John. But we do need a desire to repent and a desire for God, which is the challenge to us in this holy season. In the words of a modern father, St. Nikolai, and as a reminder that the truth and wisdom of the Church Fathers has a harmony and a consistency which comes down to us through the centuries, the same message, the same truth, the same word, guided by the same Holy Spirit. St. Nikolai says, repentance is the abandoning of all false paths that have been trodden by men's feet and men's thoughts and desires, and a return to the new path, Christ's path, a return to Christ's path instead of the path of men. But how can a sinful man repent unless he in his heart meets with the Lord and knows his own shame? Before little Zacchaeus saw the Lord with his eyes, he met him in his heart and was ashamed of all his ways. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the time to turn back, the time of repentance, the time to correct our steps, the time to correct our minds, the time to clear our minds of foolish thoughts and temptations. Bring us back to the one thing needful. The one thing needful that St. John gives us in 30 steps. But it always seems like humility is a part of every one of those steps. Repentance and humility fulfilled by love. Through the prayers of the Holy Father John of the Latter, may our Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.